Great. And like what you started off with, Ruach, and that's what the teaching's about. It's got a fire within. So what we're going to be sharing is on the fruit of Ruach. And Ruach is the Hebrew word that we translate spirit, breath, wind, blast, but it's an invisible force. It's an invisible power. And when we're working it within inside us, that's what we're going to discuss on the fruits. So, it appears, you know, so what we see with the Ruach, since it is invisible, how do we know it exists? And we know it exists through human actions, or through appears through human actions, or appears through communications. So, when you get led to contact somebody or to do something, there's a thought that comes to you, that is a manifestation or an appearing of Ruach, something invisible. So it's invisible. So there are nine manifestations or nine appearings of something that's, you know, the manifestation means to appear. And the fruit, when we look at the word fruit, it's not literal, which we know what a real fruit is, so it is a figure. And the figure is really the product of fruit, when it deals with the human being, is the product of human actions. That is our fruit. And so there's nine fruit, and there's always singular. I'm going to say fruits, but it's always singular, nine fruit. It's nine manifestations, singular, not plural, but I'll usually say nine manifestations. So the nine manifestations are tongues of interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and healings. The fruit or fruits are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, graciousness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control, which we will end up going over. But according to the prophecy, Yahweh is a fire, and Yahweh spirit descended on people on the day of Pentecost as a what?
Flame,
a cloven tongue on a fire. Well, Yahweh manifests himself through fire, and when he approved of Solomon's temple, fire came down and went to temple, so that's a manifestation of this fire, and cloud is obviously a manifestation or an appearing of Yahweh in these sorts of situations. So when we start looking at the Ruach, we got to realize people aren't born with it. It's a gift, and for just certain people. And so we begin with Samson. We'll kind of see the power element in Judges 13. Okay, here's an invisible force. And with the people in the Old Covenant, it's conditional on the holiness of your life. And if you were not holy, very few people had it because they were not holy. Or if they weren't holy, then they actually got rejected or extracted. So Judges 13, verse 7. We're going to see the messenger of Yahweh to Samson's mother. 7:6, let me see, or 7:7, 13:7. And he said unto me, the messenger, lo, thou art about to conceive and bear a son. Now therefore do not drink wine or strong drink. These are the conditions. Or eat anything unclean, for one separated unto Elohim shall the boy be from his birth until the day of his death. This sounds a lot like John the Immerser, which we're going to see. He was actually born with it. But this child is marked. But to say, here's the conditions. You have to meet these conditions. And we see the manifestation or the evidence of it is in 14, verse 6. Melania, read that.
In the Ruah of Yahweh came suddenly over him, and he tore it into pieces as if he had torn in pieces a kid, there being nothing at all, but in his hand he told not his father or his mother what he had done.
So he tore a lion in pieces. And so we know the Ruach of Yahweh the power element came upon him, where he was empowered to do the supernatural. The impossible.
Yeah.
And we kind of correct the word super means really natural, above natural, but it's not above natural, it's not natural at all. Mm-hmm. And so we don't even have a word for that, so we have to say non-physical. It went into a realm that is impossible.
Impossible.
And so it's, supernatural is always possible because it's just put a suffix in front of natural. You know, but this is, we don't have a word for what I'm trying to communicate. But that was Samson. Now we go into Saul in 1 Samuel 10. Verse 1. Then took Samuel a flask of oil and poured it out upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not that Yahweh hath anointed thee over his inheritance as leader? So this is how people usually receive the Ruach. They were either king or they were a priest or a prophet.
When they were anointed with oil?
Yeah. So Yahweh is choosing Saul, mm-hmm. through his prophet who has Ruach, Samuel, and he's going to anoint him with oil. And so that's a symbol, and we're going to see right here in verse 9. And so it was that when he turned away to depart from Samuel, Elohim gave him another what?
Heart.
A heart. So we're going to see what happens when a person receives Ruach. And Rothman will footnote mind, another mind. And all these signs came to pass that day. So we're going to see a transformation of an ability. So we're going to look at the fruits which other people can manifest who don't have spirit. Some of them can have peace, or they could have joy, or they have love, but they still don't have the holy Ruach. And I don't think they're ever going to live to the capacity that we can live. Now we go to David, 1 Samuel 16. And coming on David, and we obviously know the supernatural ability he received by killing Goliath and everything else. 16, verse 13 through 5. And Samuel took the horn of oil. See right here, Woody? The horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Ruach of Yahweh came mightily upon David from that day forward. Then rose Samuel and went his way unto Ramah. But the Ruach of Yahweh departed from Saul. Why? Because of him not living the way he's supposed to live. And Saul at this time probably had served for 25 years. So it looks like he just changed really quick.
I always thought,
And how we know that, this is off subject, but Saul ruled for 40 years. David became king when he died. And David was 30 years old when he became king. So that means when Saul began, David was not born for the next 10 years. So he was killing Philistines 10 years before David was ever even born. And then if we think of David being anointed when he was 15, say, for instance, so that's 10 years plus 25. So Saul actually served. Samson only lasted 20 years. So Saul probably did 25 years. But as we know, Samson lost his Ruach because of
his disobedience.
And same way with Saul. And there terrified him a sad Ruach, which was an evil Ruach from Yahweh. He doesn't want to put, evil in there, but that's what the word is. An evil Ruach.
And Yahweh, where are you? What?
That was in 1 Samuel, 16:13-15. And then 15, then said the servants of Saul unto him, Lo, we pray thee, a sad superhuman spirit, it's really an evil Ruach, doth terrify thee. So, we know there's other kind of unseen things that can happen to people, and they're called unclean spirits. And so obviously Yahweh didn't do that, but according to this, it appears that he did. And that's a whole other teaching altogether. Yahweh doesn't put unclean Ruachs into people. The spiritual world does that, but at that time, people did not know about the spiritual world. Christ came and made that manifest. So everything that was good or bad was attributed to Yahweh in the old covenant. But now we go to John, the Gospel of John. And we'll look at the uniqueness of John the... that's Luke. Yeah, we're going... we're not going to John. We're going to Luke. Sorry. About John the Immerser.
Luke what?
Luke 1, verse 15. So remember, the invisible force John 1:15-17. And he shall be great before Yahweh. This is to Zacharias. And wine and strong drink, and no wise may he drink. So here's other conditions for the Ruach. And with holy Ruach shall he be filled already from his mother's womb. So really, there are three really unique births. There is Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve. That was their creation. That was never done before. We're looking at John, or really Yohanan, and really the word Hana is grace or a favor is in his name, Yohanan. He was born from the womb with Ruach. That was never done before that we know of. And then we know Christ was born without any human or male sperm. So Yahweh had to create the sperm to put it in Mary's womb to fertilize her egg. So it was Mary's egg, but it could not be anybody else's sperm. But Yahweh made the perfect sperm to unite that egg. Three unique things. Now we go to 41, verse 41 through 45, same chapter. And we're going to see the evidence or the appearing of Ruach. And it came to pass as Elizabeth heard the salutation of Miriam. Mary is really Miriam. Now, Mary is not a Hebrew name. Miriam is. The babe leaped in her womb. That was a manifestation or appearing of Ruach. The babe leaped in her womb.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth was filled with holy Ruach and lifted up her voice with loud explanation and said, "This is a manifestation or an appearing of Ruach. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed be is the fruit of thy womb. And whence to me is this, that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? And lo, as the sound of thy salutation came into my ears, the babe in my womb leaped in exultation." Isn't that great?
Yeah.
"And happy is she who hath believed that there shall be a perfecting of the things which has been spoken to her from the Lord." That's all a manifestation of Ruach. Now, we get into Ruach being a gift. Galatians 3. I'm going to spend some time in Galatians. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 2. "O thoughtless Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" Okay.
3, verse what?
1. Okay. 1 and 2. "O thoughtless Galatians, who hath bewitched you, before whose very eyes Yahushua Mashiach..." Melania's got to learn where Galatians is.
Okay.
Busted.
Pop quiz.
Yeah. "O thoughtless Galatians, who hath bewitched you, before whose very eyes Yahushua Mashiach was openly set forth as a crucified one, this only am I wishing to learn from you. By works of law receive you the Ruach." So if you received something, it was a gift. "Or by a believed report." And so we know in Acts 2, it says, if you repent, you'll receive the free gift of Holy Ruach after the day of Pentecost. So we know the gift is not for everybody. So Ruach is something only believers have at this particular time. And it has operations. But it's very simple. If you do not do what Yahweh says, generally, there's not going to be any appearing of Ruach in your life.
Right.
really simple. You're not going to speak in tongues. You're not going to interpret. You're not going to prophesy. You're not going to have word. I mean, you might have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, maybe discerning of spirits, but you're not going to do faith, miracles, or healing. So there has to be an effort, a concerted effort, for people to walk into and enter into this particular field. If it's not, as you know, with many Christians, you'll see, I do not see the fruit of the Ruach in their lives. I don't see love. I don't see joy. I don't see peace. And so the opposite of these things, so the opposite of love is hate or detest. The opposite of joy is despair. The opposite of peace is conflict. The opposite of long-suffering, which I would say slow to anger. I think they, you know, so it was a Greek word, but Yahweh is always slow to anger. And slow to anger is you get angry very quickly, so you don't have long-suffering. Graciousness, the opposite is ungiving. Goodness, the opposite is wickedness. Faithfulness, the opposite is uncertain. Meekness, the opposite is obstinance, stubborn. And self-control, the opposite is unconstrained or undisciplined. So when you see that in a believer's life, then obviously what we're going to find out is they're not sowing into the Spirit. So if you don't sow into the Spirit, you're not going to have fruit.
What does that mean?
Well, I'll go on to here. What is a fruit in the first place? It's the result of a production. It's the end result.
Yeah.
So I must sow to reap fruit.
Yeah.
Fruit is a product. And so love is a product. And by the way, it's... Is that locked? So love is a product. It's like distilling or refining. Come on in. Just go ahead and see what it means. A product like distilling or refining. So fruit, you either have good fruit or bad fruit. So fruit is just a product of what has been sown. Mm-hmm. So if I sown bad things, I'm going to have
bad things.
I'm going to have hate instead of love. If I sow bad things, I'm going to have despair instead of joy. If I sow bad things, I have conflict instead of peace. So we go to Matthew 7. Verse 15 to 20.
Could you speak louder?
7:15 through 20 about fruits.
I heard Matthew 7 or 7
15.
7? 15, thank you.
Chapter 7, right. Verse 15 through 20. So you, if you could help him, Donna.
Matthew 7.
Okay, 15, 5 through 7. Where are you? Here we go. 14.
Beware of false prophets 10. Who come unto you in clothing of sheep, while within they are ravaging wolves. Remember that, Melania. With friends.
Okay.
I mean, there's a contact where there are people who are look as, you know, like Jezebel. Jezebel was probably quite a looker and probably very likable and everything else, but behind her was a ravaging wolves. And so all of us have known people,
Delilah,
that was very deceptive. And then when we saw their true colors, we're shocked. And we disengaged from that particular person, but they infiltrated. 16. By their fruits shall you find them out, unless perhaps men gather from thorns grapes. No, you don't get grapes from thorns. So there's always fruit. We're always producing fruit. And fruit is, when I say this again, the human actions. So we can see, like the Ruach, we can see through people's action the fruit that they're bearing. Their countenance, you know, how they look, how they handle themselves, how they handle disappointment, you know, on and on and on. Or from thistles, figs. So every good tree fine fruit produces, whereas a worthless tree evil fruit produces. It is It is impossible for a good tree to be bearing evil fruit. Neither does a worthless tree produce fine fruit. Every tree that beareth not the fine fruit is hewed down and into the fire is cast. So fruit's coming. That's it.
What kind?
Yeah, so what you can see what's inside. After all, then, by their fruits shall you find them out. So fruit's always coming. So our discussion is the fruit of the Spirit. So we go into sowing now. In Galatians 6, verse 7.
Galatians 6, verse 7.
The book?
Galatians.
Elijah.
No. Galatians.
Galatians, thank you. I'm sorry, my hearing is terrible today.
6, verse 7 through 8.
Galatians, I think it's...
And so we're usually thinking that something just appears because you're a Christian, you yes. have love, Elijah. Joy, peace.
Verse 8.
Yes. Well, that's not
six.
The case, as we all
chapter
know, because there are many people who ended up turning or not sowing into themselves the right stuff, and on the contrary, instead of saying a lot of joy, peace, you see hate, despair, and conflict.
Eight. Yeah,
are seven? They Christians?
Eight.
Yes, yes, they are.
Verse eight.
Do they have
eight,
law?
Yes,
they
do. Verse,
but they're not yeah, sowing into their lives. What they need, and so we see right here. In verse 6, howbeit, let him who is being orally instructed in the word have fellowship with him that is so instructing him in all good things. Be not deceiving yourselves. Yahweh is not to be mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, the same shall he also reap. It's very simple. Because he that soweth into his own flesh, out of the flesh shall reap corruption. Whereas he that soweth into the Spirit, so you can sow into the Ruach, out of the Ruach shall reap age, abiding life. And so that is sowing. So the fruit of the Ruach are the product of human actions that we see. How do you know if somebody has love, joy, or peace? Is by their manifestations. You're going to see it on their face. And you're going to see people at the Pachyderm Club, somebody who never smiles. Well, obviously, he doesn't have peace at all. He's in conflict, or he's in despair. You know, he doesn't have joy. And so and they could have the Holy Ruach, but they're not sowing in the right stuff. And so, as we know, you are what you eat. It's a very simple thing. You are a product of what you eat. And that is... We really receive information from three places. We receive it through our eyes. What am I seeing to put into myself? And what am I hearing to put into myself? And we all know Yahweh can also do thoughts. And what thoughts are I entertaining? So once I put them in here, what thoughts am I entertaining? If they're evil thoughts, if I get into pornography or something, then I am not going to, the fruits of Ruach are not going to be shown in my life. And the more I delve into that, and that becomes part of my life, the more the manifestations will not show. So here it is in 5:22, the fruits.
Chapter 5, verses 22.
Dankeschön. Okay.
I guess we'll do the works of the flesh first. Let's go to 5:16.
5:16 now.
Oh, gosh, I'm crazy.
Yeah, same thing. Right. I say, moreover, by Ruach be walking. So we have a choice. I can either walk by the flesh or I can walk by the Ruach. So remember in Genesis 1:24, two things were created on the sixth day. Beast, animals, and people, the image of Elohim. So we're either going to be a beast or we're going to be the image of Elohim. We're either going to be walking after the flesh like Cain was or we're going to be like Abel. So a very simple thing. We get to choose our path. So by walking, by Ruach be walking, and fleshly coveting you will in no wise fulfill. There it is right there. For the flesh coveteth against the Ruach, but the Ruach against the flesh. So that is what we saw in a movie the other day, yin and yang, light and darkness, day and night. And there's a conflict. And the difference is we just can't get rid of one. but we can overpower one, the flesh, by what we consume and what we sow in our lives. But the ruach against the flesh, for these unto one another are opposed, lest whatsoever things you chance to desire, these you should be doing. And if by the ruach you are being led, you are not under the law. And the law we're talking about is the Levitical law. And this whole thing's about circumcision, people going back to circumcision to justify themselves and become righteous. And he said, Christ made you righteous. Now we go to verse 22. We're going to skip to the flesh right now. Come back to the flesh.
522, Dad.
Yeah, 19. Now wait a minute here. Let's see here. No, yeah, we'll go ahead and go there. So verse 19, we're going to go into the flesh. And I'm really going to call these, instead of the works of the flesh, I'm going to call them the fruit of the flesh. It's the same thing. Now watch. Manifest, however, are the works of the flesh, which indeed are fornication. Can I witness fornication in somebody's life? Mm-hmm. Is that a manifestation like love? I can see love in a person's life. I can see fornication in a person's life. These are the outward ordinances. These are the human productions of their life. So think of all of these as a fruit, but Yahweh's going to use works in contrast to fruit, but the works are fruit. Fornication, impurity, wantonness, idolatry, enchantments, enmities, strife, jealousy, look at that, outburst of wrath. Well, outburst of wrath is the opposite of long-suffering, right? Factions, divisions, parties, envying, drunkenness, reveling. And as such as these, as to which I forewarn you, even as I forewarned you, that they who such things as these do practice shall not inherit Yahweh's reign, or Yahweh's kingdom, or Yahweh's rule. But the fruit of the ruach, and we're talking about sowing into the ruach, you're going to get love, joy, peace, long-suffering, graciousness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such things as these, there is no law. And they who are Christ Yahushua have crucified the flesh. And so, very simply, in order to have the fruit of the ruach, what must you do?
Yes, so I do.
Yeah, crucify what?
The flesh.
Okay, it's conditional. If you're going to manifest, you have to crucify the flesh. With its susceptibilities and covetings. You know, so real simple. We've seen many Christians fall, and we've all fallen in our lives by covetings for wrong things many times, and had to recuperate ourselves to get us back on track. If we live by ruach let us also walk. So it's a choice that we make, and this is the sowing in to the word of Yahweh coming in, doing what the word of Yahweh says. I put it into my life, and if I put it into my life, and that is why it's so important to know what's coming in your ears each day and what's coming in your eyes each day. What are you feeding upon? And I think most people can be able to tell by you, by your fruit, what you're lacking, and whether you're angry, whether you're envious, whether you're in despair, you're in conflict, compared to somebody who's been listening to the word of Yahweh. And that's why the word of promise is so important, that a person can actually be receiving information while they're washing the dishes, while they're taking a bath or a shower, while they're cleaning the house, because it's the word coming in, and the more I pipe it in, the more it's cleansing out the works of the flesh. So we go into, so think of that too, is, because remember, the fruit is the products of human actions. You become what you read and hear, and that's sowing, and ruminate. What are you ruminating on? It's going over and over and over again. And so if you have a problem with somebody, or something that happened way back then, and it's there ruminating.
Eating it.
Yeah, it's coming up, and for years it's coming up on you. It's destroying you. You have to cut that, because why? He always says that. So we're going to see this in Ephesians 4.
Ephesians 4.
Thank you.
22.
Verse 22.
Danke.
In order to walk in the Ruach, we have to strip off the old man. It's not an option. You have to strip it off, and it's going to define it, and then put on the new man. That verse 22, that you were to strip off as regarding the former behavior of the old man. So if a person receives Christ as their Lord, that's the baby. They're never going to develop, because they have to put into action and stripping off the old man. And putting, not just stripping it off, because there's not a void there, you have to replace it with the new man. And how do I do that? I've got to put these words on. The old man who corrupted himself according to his deceitful covetings, and we're to be getting young again in the spirit of your mind, and we're to put on the man of new mold who after Yahweh, and that is the image of Yahweh, the new man is the image of Yahweh, the old man is the beast. And as we know, we see people today, probably the majority of people are beasts. They mm-hmm. actually will not bend to Yahweh.
Yeah.
And who after Yahweh hath been created in his truthful righteousness and has said, wherefore stripping off what is false, be speaking truth one with another, because we are members one of another, be angry and not committing sin, let not the sun be going down upon your angry mood. And so you can be angry, but just don't let it be carried on for the next day. Neither be giving place unto the adversary, let the stealer no more steal, but rather let him be toiling. And this is sowing into the Ruach, walking in the Spirit, working with his hand the thing which is good, that he may have wherewith all to be given away to him that hath need. Let no putrid discourse out of your mouth be going forth. But if anything is good, suited to the needful upbuilding, that it may give benefit unto them that hear. Now, I was just listening to Hebrews chapter 12, and it says, if you're a son, Yahweh is going to chastise you. What kind of father does not chastise his son?
Yeah.
And that means you're going to be corrected. You're going to be, when somebody says, hey, Donna, putrid discourse is coming out of your mouth. How dare you? I'll never speak to you again. Well, that was words from Yahweh. I mean, this right here says, no putrid discourse shall be seen out of your mouth. And so you can say, don't get mad at the person. You should be, I was just chastised by the word of Yahweh. Well, thank you very much. But I mean, with all of us, maybe it's the wrong timing. You don't do it right at the deal, but you've got to realize if you're not chastised by Yahweh, do you know what you are? You're bastards. That's what it says in Hebrews 12. You're illegitimate. You know, all fathers chastise their children, and so many times what we do is, by contacting people with the word of Yahweh, not with me, and saying, you're not doing this and this and this and this. I just saw a big old, this got a whole letter from an organization, and Max Licato, you know, real famous guy.
Licato Institute.
No, Licato, Max Licato.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's made all his money. But here's a prayer to Jesus for Christmas. Here's a prayer to Jesus, and he goes all the way through this, and thank you, Jesus, for being, you know, us being your children. And so it was this whole thing, and I thought, this is on the back of the magazine. It's idolatry. Idolatry. And that's one of the things we're talking about, the works of the flesh. And that's in the Christian circle. And I'll keep reading. Let me see here. Let's go to verse 30. And be not grieving the Holy Ruach of Yahweh. Very simply, I can have the Holy Ruach, and before Pentecost, what would happen if I got into those zones?
You get zipped right out again.
What happened? You don't have the Ruach anymore. And so but the Ruach's in there, and be not grieving the Holy Ruach of Yahweh, where you have been sealed unto a day of redemption. All bitterness and wrath and anger and outcry and profane speaking, let it be taken away from you with all baitness. And be, and here's sowing, there was cutting off the flesh, now we're sowing into the Spirit. But be gracious one to another, tenderly affectionate and fair, forgiving one another, even as Yahweh also in Christ hath in favor forgiven you. Become ye therefore imitators of Yahweh. Well, there it is right there. That is the choosing to be the image of Elohim, or I'm going to be a beast. And beloved, and walk in love, even as the Christ also loved you. Who manifests all nine fruits? Christ. And delivered him. Was Christ mad? Was he angry? Did he turn over a table? People say, aha, anger is not a fruit of the Spirit. All right. No, that doesn't make any difference. He always was doing the Father's will. So Father gets angry. Yahweh gets angry. But he's slow to anger. But he does get angry, and he does have what they call wrath. Wrath is a heating up, a furnace. Even as
why
Christ,
are we seeing that?
Yeah, and we saw that with Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. That's the wrath of Yahweh. We're going to see it in the book of Revelation. Even as the Christ also loved you and delivered himself up in your behalf and offering a sacrifice unto Yahweh for a fragrance of sweet smell. Back to the flesh. But fornication and all impurity or covetous, let it not be named among you, even as becometh saints. And shameless and foolish talking or jesting with things are beneath you. You know, guys can do this many times and be crude, or, you know, you're an idiot, or you're this or that, you know, and try to give a person a bad nickname. They think it's funny, but it's supposed to be their friend. You know, and it's really bad jesting and foolish talking. But rather giving of thanks. For this you know, if you take note, that no fornicator or impure or greedy person who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and Yahweh. Let no one be deceiving you with empty words, for because of these things is coming the, what?
Anger.
Anger. And the word anger is off, it's A-P or A-P-H, off. And it's the nose flaring. The anger of Yahweh upon the sons of what? Obstinance. The opposite of, let me see here. Oh yeah, meekness is obstinance. Do not then become co-partners with them. Ah! So wait a minute here. So if I still have unbelievers as friends who are walking in darkness and I'm their friends, I am now what?
Co-partners
with them. So am I walking according to the flesh or according to the Spirit?
Flesh.
According to the flesh. Remember that. That's a choice you have made. For you were at one time darkness, as they are, and now are you light in the Lord, as children of light, be walking. Well, I don't have any friends, which is understandable, so I've got to hook up with somebody. And maybe they're darkness, only part darkness, but I'm not going to let that affect me. Okay, very simply. Are they coming closer to Christ because of you or not?
Or are you getting
well, this, this is something that Tim could consider, you know, with the people he associates with, and Guy, and anybody else. If they aren't Bible-believing people, it's very simply, by your presence, they're coming closer to Christ, and if they're not coming closer to Christ, you shouldn't be there.
Tim doesn't have any friends, so.
Well, I mean, Ryan's friends.
Yeah.
Man, that's what I'm just saying. And the same way with Ryan, you look at Ryan and say, are you coming closer to Christ, or away from Christ? Or with Holly or Jason, the same situation. And we look at Guy's life, you know, we go to Suzanne's life. And so all of our lives should be really looking at, and which we're going to come up at the end of the teaching about, well, I'll just sum that up in 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. All right. For the love of Christ constraineth us that we,
Heaven does this.
Wait a minute here. For the love constraineth us that, mean, that one died for all, that we're all dead. That whosoever... I better start over that.
Melania can say it.
I got it. Let me see. For the love of Christ constraineth us, that one died for all, therefore all were dead. And he died for one in order that they who live... Really simple. That they who live no longer live for themselves, but for him who in their behalf died and awoke. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. So you have to realize... So with all of us, and with all our family members, not just picking on you, it's everybody, with Sarah and everybody, are you living for, are you living for Christ? And it's just yes or no. And if you're not, you need to. This guy hung it all out for you, and it's going to be the best life. It might not appear that way, but it's going to be the best life. Yeah. But we'll go back to verse 9. For the fruit of light, you know, the production of light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Putting to the test is well-pleasing unto the Lord, and be not joining in fellowship in the unfruitful works of darkness. There it is. Well, by the way, with Tim, no friends either. Aaron and I have any friends either. So
it
really comes down to it. But you know what? The people that I know... don't want the word. Or otherwise, we'd be good friends. Really simple. And so we, you know, so it's just that realization, if you're manifesting Christ, they don't want Christ in that capacity. So I'm not going to, you know, lower my standards to become friends with this particular person because of that. And that's usually what the standard is, and that's what most Christian churches do, is they lower their standards to have people who are in darkness become part of their congregation. Because now they have a lot of people there. So if I bring in half dark people, I'm not going to ask them if they're dark. But you know, if they're a Democrat, they're voting for murder in the womb. But I'm not going to call it that because that's not good. And we saw that with Life Church and other places. They're not going to do that. So they have consented to join in fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, because they have these people around them. But rather be even administering reproof. So these pastors should be reproving the people who are walking in darkness, as we should all, in love. And we're all, for the secret things which are brought to pass by them, and that's very simple. The way they vote, now think of that. The way that anybody who votes as a Democrat is for sodomy, they're for abortion, they're for stealing from the rich. They're going to say, well, no, I just vote Democrat. My parents were always Democrats. Well, that's what you're voting for. For the secret things which are brought to pass by them, which is right, it is shameful even to speak. All things, however, when reproved by the light, become manifest. For all that is itself maketh manifest is light. Wherefore it saith, up thou sleeper, and arise from among the dead, or awake from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you.
I love that.
Yeah, so you're looking at these opportunities, and with all of us, we get sucked in, and we all want to be part of a group. You know, we want to be part of a group. Look at our group. this is our family, and even our own family won't come. You know, Guy's not going to come. He's not interested in the movie, I mean, in the teachings. You know, and so you're looking at that, and so it's just matter of fact. That's just the way it is. But like the manifestation, what Aaron gave, is that Christ and Yahweh are always here, regardless.
That's neat, yeah.
Now we go to and one thing interesting about Galatians 5:22 on the fruit of the Spirit. Those are all nouns: love, joy, peace, and they're all feminine. I don't know if that has any significance, but that all nine of them do. Now we, let's see. I think we're just about ending in there.
Shale's feminine too, just for the record.
Oh, so let's go into Shale, Matthew 13 to end up. What now? I didn't hear that.
So Shale is feminine too?
Just for the record. They'll get all hot.
Well, it's funny, the works of the flesh, majority are feminine, but about a third of them are all masculine. So I thought, well, so I went to every work of the flesh. So that interesting, just observation. You know, as you know, in Spanish and stuff like that too.
What did he say?
A table is going to be feminine and masculine.
He's talking about feminine and masculine.
What?
Matthew 13. That's not important.
Not important. Okay. That's easy for me.
Yeah. 22. We'll end up here.
What do you say?
Matthew 14, verse 22. Got it.
Thank you,
I'm right here on this today. And this is the sower and the seed. This is all life. You know, this life is
right?
Short.
13.
Yikes.
This life is in relationship to, you know, 100 years, 70 or 80 years. It's short in relationship to 1,000 times. So with all of us, we've got to realize the works of the flesh are the works of the Ruach. So I'm going to choose. And it would be nice to have a lot of people with who wanted Ruach, but you know, when we go to Pachyderm Club, you know, I got a Rothman Bible and nobody's even interested. Christians, and they've got the Trinity. They're not speaking in tongues. That means Christ is sitting at their table. We are Christ's representative, the ambassadors, sitting at that table, can show them how to speak in tongues, interpret, prophesy, give them the Rothman Bible, show them the dead are not alive, you know, show them that the Trinity is idolatry, you've got three gods, and they still don't want it, so they're, half of their life can be in darkness.
And the other half,
they can be giving to church organizations, and they can be kind people, but it does come down that they're, you know, Christ is holding them accountable to say, God, man, how much closer can I get to you? I got right there, and who said you want? Nope, not interested. Okay. I mean, Christ did the same thing.
Yeah.
When he went to Nazareth, what did he say? Nobody's interested.
Yeah.
We know your sisters, we know your brothers. We're very happy where we are. Thank you very much. But here's the ending of the sower of the seed. 22. And he among the thorns sown, the same is he that heareth the word. So how do we sow into our lives? Back here, the word of Yahweh. And the anxiety of the age and the deceit of riches, that's the flesh, right? Here comes the flesh. Here comes the flesh. And this is what happens to most churches, I can imagine, is the deceitfulness of riches, because God, this guy gives a lot of money. I'm not going to try to say something that he doesn't like and leave. Choke the word. So it chokes the word, and unfruitful it becometh. But here's the last group, and I hope all of us are in it. But he on the good ground sown, the same is he who doth hear. So that was it. It's coming in. It's coming through our eyes. It's coming in. The word who indeed puts it down into his heart and puts it into action. Who indeed beareth fruit and produces this 100 and that 60 and the other 30. So you're looking at, that's what our job is. And so we'll stop there. And I'll go ahead and give a word of prophecy to the people. Well, Father, we thank you for these words through Christ our Lord. Amen. Be bold and courageous, because you are my sons and daughters who in life given great power and great authority and great, and you are my ambassadors who have I have endowed with great fruit in order that you may produce great fruit and let other people in the world see your fruit to want your fruit. So go ahead and manifest that fruit. Amen. All right. See you next week.